Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 8. And today I believe it's text 21. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devakinandanaya Cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devakinandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devakinandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah. Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devakinandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devakinandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah. Ladies, Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah. Krishnaya, the Supreme Lord, Vasudevaya, unto the son of Vasudev, Devaki Nandanaya, unto the son of Devaki, Cha and Nanda Gopa, Nanda and the cowherd men, Kumaraya, unto their son, Govindaya, unto the personality of Godhead, who enlivens the cows and the senses, Namaha, respectful obeisances, Namaha, obeisances. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudev, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda, and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. Please repeat. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudev, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda, and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and senses. Report. The Lord being thus unapproachable by any material assets, out of unbounded and causeless mercy, descends on the earth as He is, in order to show His special mercy upon His unalloyed devotees and to diminish the upsurges of the demoniac persons. Queen Kunti specifically adores the incarnation or descent of Lord Krishna above all other incarnations, because in this particular incarnation He is more approachable. In the Rama incarnation He remained a king's son from His very childhood. But in the incarnation of Krishna, although He was the son of a king, He at once left the shelter of His real father and mother, King Vasudev and Queen Devaki, just after His appearance, and went to the lap of Jasodamayi to play the part of an ordinary cowherd boy in the blessed Brajabhumi, which is very sanctified because of His childhood pastimes. Therefore, Lord Krishna is more merciful than Lord Ram. He was undoubtedly very kind to Kunti's brother, Vasudev, and the family. Had He not become the son of Vasudev and Devaki, Queen Kunti could not claim him to be her nephew, and thus address Krishna in parental affection. But Nanda and Jasoda are more fortunate, because they could relish the Lord's childhood pastimes, which are more attractive than all other pastimes. There is no parallel to His childhood pastimes as exhibited in Brajabhumi, which are replicas of His eternal affairs in the original Krishna Loka, described in the Chintamani Dham, as the Chintamani Dham in the Brahma Sanghita. Lord Sri Krishna descended Himself at Brajabhumi with all His transcendental entourage and paraphernalia. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore confirmed that no one is as fortunate as the residents of Brajabhumi, and specifically the cowherd girls, who dedicated their everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. His pastimes with Nanda and Jasoda, and His pastimes with the cowherd men, and especially with the cowherd boys and the cows, have caused Him to be known as Govinda. Lord Krishna as Govinda is more inclined to the brahmanas and the cows, indicating thereby that human prosperity depends more on these two items, namely brahminical culture and cow protection. Lord Krishna is never satisfied where these are lacking. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshunmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Tum Guru Deva Chalam Pam Gaman Gayate Girim Yad Kipa Dham Amade Sri Gurum Dinatana Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Paramananda Maharavam. So it's interesting how Srila Prabhupada is describing the Lord here as unapproachable, but also approachable. It seems to be contradictory. Typically, we see in society the descriptions of God, the Absolute, or the Supreme Being, as either being unapproachable, You can't say his name. No one's ever seen him. It may be a booming voice from the sky. It's some cheap process where you don't have to do anything. You just accept and you can go about your enjoying ways. So, of course, all of these are incomplete. But here Srila Prabhupada is describing the absolute truth as simultaneously approachable but unapproachable. It's interesting that, first of all, Srila Prabhupada points out that the Lord comes out of his boundless mercy. Yada yada hi dhammasya glanir bhavati bharatam. Krishna comes, the personality of Godhead, comes personally for many reasons. Sometimes there's an overabundance of irreligiosity and demoniac persons in the world. The Lord has to come and right this situation, or religiosity has been totally lost. The Lord needs to come and show practically how this can be implemented in society so that there's all success. And Srila Prabhupada is touching upon all these points here in this wonderful purport. It's not by material assets that the personality of Godhead can be understood. The Bhagavatam describes Nayam Sukapo Bhagavan Dehinam Gopika Sutta. There's a beautiful verse in the Bhagavatam that describes how Krishna, the son of Jasoda, is not accessible to the mental speculators. And the Lord Brahma says the same thing. Pantas tu koti satavatsara sambra gamyo vayoratapi manaso muni pangvanam. That the great yogis and ascetics, they can meditate for years and years, for lifetime after lifetime. But still, they can only approach the effulgence which is emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord. So he's not available to those kinds of persons. He's not approachable. You can speculate all you like, and so many people like to write so many literatures, and they come up with so many theories. They have so many different opinions. Even in the assembly of Parikshit Maharaj, there were so many learned scholars and sages and saints, and they were all giving their opinion what should be done, until finally Shukadeva Goswami came in their presence, and he was accepted as the speaker, and he began to describe to Maharaj Parikshit the wonderful, wonderful pastimes of Lord Krishna. So it's not that by speculation, again, that we can approach the personality of Godhead, and it's not certainly by severe austerities that there are so many accounts of how great yogis and personalities go through all sorts of tapasya and penances. They may get the mercy of some demigod. They may get the mercy of Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma or some other deity. But still, it falls short. So it's not, again, by jnana or yoga or even by karma, those who are absorbed in their bodies. It's not that the Lord is approachable by these material assets, as Prabhupada points out here. He's not approachable. But out of His causeless mercy, He shows Himself. Queen Kunti, later on in this chapter, she very nicely describes how beautifully the Lord, He appears amongst all species, amongst all men, gods, animals, aquatics, how the Supreme Personality, the soul of the universe, she describes Him. How the soul of the universe, and of course Krishna is maintaining everything, we know that. With all of His various shaktis, parashya shakti vidhaya shuyate, and Krishna is very easily maintaining the whole universe. But that same personality is appearing in this beautiful form of Lord Krishna. It's bewildering. And for the common person, it is bewildering. And so many people have, to this day, they can't perceive or understand or equate how God can appear in this wonderful, beautiful form. Even Lord Brahma, what to speak of those who are in this world with tiny little brains and with their limited experience. They're trying to understand how is it that God comes in this beautiful form and enacts wonderful transcendental pastimes. How is it possible? It's very bewildering. But Prabhupada makes point of it later on in the purport that he does this because he's attracted by the unalloyed devotional service of his devotees. And those who are favored by even a slight trace of that mercy can understand how this is possible. They can understand the greatness of the personality of Godhead. Again, those who are speculating or may study the Vedic literatures, they may study for years, and they still can't comprehend how the absolute truth is coming into this world, and He's performing such beautiful, attractive, loving pastimes. And this is the special feature, as we read in the Nectar Devotion, that this is one of the unique qualities of Krishna, is that he's all attractive. One may be engaged in these other processes, but as soon as one comes in contact with the pastimes and the glorifications of the Lord Krishna, immediately one becomes attracted. Queen Kunti specifically adores the incarnation and descent of Lord Krishna above all other incarnations, because this particular incarnation is more approachable. How is it that the Lord, He's unapproachable, but at the same time He's now exhibiting His approachability? In previous incarnations, Srila Prabhupada points out that the Ram incarnation, He remained a king's son. Appeared, He showed by His practical example how one should govern, how one should conduct himself. Not like the narcissistic pathological leaders that we have in the world nowadays, who are totally totally obsessed in their own glorification. And their only interest is their own position. The envy for all other living beings. No empathy, of course. Not at all. But the Lord has to come in this beautiful incarnation as Lord Ram, and He shows by practical example how one should govern. How one can be in such a responsible position and at the same time have empathy for all living beings and not be infatuated by this sense of self-importance, which again is there in the present day. And people are fantasizing with so much with their power and their beauty. They're totally deluded. So the Lord has to come and show by practical example how to govern and how to protect the citizens and how society can be in a very beautiful environment, even though we're still in this material world, which is such a temporary, miserable place. Still, even though if the governorship is proper, then everything is provided for. We read in the fourth canto how was it the fourth canto that Bhumi, she was responding to Prithu's. Third canto, she was responding to Prithu's demand. Why aren't you providing the natural opulences which are there? And her response was that it's not my fault. I'm just simply reacting or responding to the leaders of society, the kings and the rulers, who are abusing and misleading. So naturally she withdraws everything. Everything is limited. And of course that's happening gradually. We're seeing now as Kali Yuga is progressing, people are getting less and less natural opulences to the point where nothing will be there and people will have to resort to eating their children. How gross is that? It's unimaginable. So she was simply reacting. But if the society is governed properly, if it's established properly, then everything is there. So Lord Ram showed by his practical example how that could be done. But especially now, this incarnation or this appearance of the Lord in His beautiful form of Lord Krishna in Brajabhumi, where He enacted His transcendentally attractive and sweet pastimes, these are extra special because of the unalloyed service that was rendered by the residents of Vrindavan. The other appearances of the Lord, there's awe and reverence there, certainly. That the Lord is merciful in the form of Nrsingadev, or He's merciful in the form of Lord Varaha, or He's merciful in the form of Lord Ram. And they're providing so many pleasures and protections to the devotees. But in this form, especially of the Lord in Vrindavan is different. Because the Lord chooses, Nayam Pravachanina Labhyo, Namedaya Bahunashutena. Because the Lord is choosing to reveal himself to these unalloyed devotees. It's not that by other processes, by karma, jnana, yoga, as we mentioned earlier, it's not by these other processes that Krishna becomes available. But he becomes available to those who are engaged in his unalloyed devotional service. And such is the position of the residents of Vrindavan. And particularly, and especially as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu points out, as Śrīla Prabhupāda points out, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms Vrajabadhu Vargena Vakyalpita, that especially the gopis, the damsels of Vrindavan, they're especially mentioned because of their exemplary or most pleasing services offered to Krishna, to Radha and Krishna. It's especially mentioned. Śrīla Prabhupāda points out that these childhood pastimes, as exhibited in Vrajabhumi, are replicas of the eternal pastimes which are there in Chintamani Dham. So although the Lord is coming from the spiritual world and descending to this earthly plane, the same activities are going on, the same experiences, the same exchanges are right there, and they're present, and they're shown in the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. And Queen Kunti here, she's making this point that this is so amazing, this is so bewildering. How is it that the Supreme Lord is coming and he's engaging in these remarkable exchanges between himself and his devotees? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later on tells Raghunath Das Goswami that it's that Krishna is not attainable by those who are subservient to the tongue. He quotes this one, a beautiful verse. Jivera lala se ye iti uti dhai, where he says that Krishna is not attainable by those who are subservient to the tongue, who are running here and there, simply serving the, or devoted to their genitals and belly. And they cannot attain Krishna. And they can't understand how Krishna is engaged in these wonderful transcendental pastimes because they're controlled by their senses. They're not able to enter into these wonderful, wonderful exchanges, wonderful pastimes of the Lord. And how bewildering it is for even those who are engaged in devotional service. How is that Krishna is having these wonderful, amazing exchanges between himself and his loving devotees who are experiencing different mellows? Śrīla Prabhupāda points out here in the purport that his pastimes with Nanda and Jasoda and his pastimes with the cowherd men, and especially with the cowherd boys and cows, have been and the cows have caused him to be known as Govinda. This very interesting point that Śrīla Prabhupāda makes here right at the end of the purport, that that there are certain things which are critical for success in society. And all other things are simply ornaments. What? Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya? What is that verse? Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya? Jati Shastram Javastapa. Apranasya Deyasya Mandanam Lokaranjanam. That someone may have a very nice birth. Certainly there are a lot of well-to-do people in the material estimation. They may have wealth that, like some of these billionaires who are engaged in Apple or this industry or that industry, they may have a lot of wealth. Or they, one may be in, even in the higher planets. And certainly it's attractive. Or someone may have shastram. He may have a lot of knowledge about the shastra. And they can speak very nicely and confuse a lot of people. To the point where everyone adores them, even though they're talking in circles. Sometimes you see how, just like a lawyer, he's so expert that he can take something and turn it into nothing. They even had this one show some years ago. I don't know if it's on anymore. What was it called? Seinfeld? It was a show about these people who talked about nothing. They made something out of nothing. And the whole the whole series is about these people who are just talking to each other and nothing, and they're not talking about anything of any value. It's just strange. So someone may be very scholarly, certainly. One may be very, very expert in flowery language. Japatapas, right? One may be very expert in chanting so many shlokas and can rattle them off. Just like you can go to some places, some temples, particularly in India, where I was traveling some years back. We went to South India, and we went to it was Trivandrum, and the brahmanas were chanting some shlokas during this yajna, and they were just chanting, rattling off these, and you couldn't follow them. It was dizzying. So they may be very expert, although we know that in the Kali Yuga, even their chanting is inadequate. It falls short. Even there may be a little mistake in the pronunciation. Just like in the sixth canto, the story of, was it Vichasura? The mantras were chanted, just one little mistake. And instead of becoming the, was it friend? Or instead it became killed by Indra. Just a little mistake. Or one may be engaged in so many austerities. And there's many people who are very qualified in holding their breath underwater. Okay? That's very nice. Or you can stand on your toes for a long time. Sometimes you go to these athletic events, and people are very qualified to do all sorts of things. They can flip around on the mat or twist around on some rings in the sky. So they may have a lot of athletic acumen, but all these things are ornaments on a dead body, devoid of devotional service. Devoid of devotional service, they're simply ornaments that nobody cares about. Just like a dead body, you can put all kinds of fancy clothes on it. You can put all a gold crown on it. But who cares? The only people that care about it are the grave plunderers. A thousand years later, they try and break into the graves and rob the ornaments. Rob the ornaments and all the souvenirs. Who cares? But here, Srila Prabhupada is making a point that without Brahminical culture and cow protection, Krishna is not satisfied. And society is not satisfied, of course. It's a failure. So, in conclusion here, Devaki, or Queen Kunti, is appreciating and so much glorifying this wonderful form of Lord Krishna, who's come and he's performing all these wonderful pastimes simply so that we can become attracted to it. And if we become attracted to it, then our lives are complete. Are there any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.